The year was 1999, and I was living in New York City, a bit jittery as the millennium beckoned. It was late at night, and I was listening to Art Bell on the radio, who at the time was the maestro of the strange and paranormal. But then, as it sometimes happens when listening to the radio in bed in the wee hours, I fell asleep. Only, I didn't fall asleep in the way I usually do. I had entered a quasi-dream state in which I was conscious of my physical surroundings and the live radio show. And yet, a menacing being was materializing in full view. I was terrified but couldn't react. My body was completely frozen. I was watching a green-eyed blonde man dangling from the ceiling as though in a web. Stark naked, he seemed to loom over me with a murderous intent, as an innocuous commercial for shortwave radios played in my ear. The event seemed torturously long, but probably spanned less than a minute, before the paralysis ended and the figure vanished. I had encountered such a state once before, and so I recognized it as an episode of sleep paralysis, SP. But that earlier experience happened without a point of reference. It both alarmed and intrigued me. I searched for something that might help explain what had happened to me, but couldn't find much. This was before the internet. Even so, I learned that the event had a name, and that I wasn't the only person who had experienced it. It took me years to share my story, probably for fear people would think I was crazy. I first wrote about SP back in 2001. Since then, there's been a profusion of research, books, articles, and online forums on the topic. But even now, many people are still unfamiliar with this curious and terrifying state. Like me, those who have experienced it may be shy about telling others, ashamed or embarrassed. It's surprising that SP remains in the shadows, given that some 40% of the population will experience it at least once in their lives, with a much smaller percentage plagued by repeat episodes. Reports of the phenomenon date back thousands of years. Galen, an influential physician of the 2nd century AD, attributed it to indigestion. Though the malady has been associated with a vast array of causes over the centuries, including carbon dioxide poisoning of the brain, an elongated uvula, and the consumption of West Indian alligator pears. Across cultures, a great deal of supernatural lore has accumulated in tales of the incubus and the old hag. The original Anglo-Saxon definition of nightmare comes from nicht, night, and mara, incubus. We'll delve into accounts of the incubus and succubus, female demon, along with other beings a bit later, but for now, here's a look at the nuts and bolts of a typical SP occurrence. The person knows they are completely awake and not asleep and are typically supine. They have a realistic view of their room or environment, and their eyes may be open. Except for the eyes, the body is completely paralyzed. There is a sensed presence in the room, accompanied by an overwhelming feeling of fear and dread. A heavy pressure is felt on the chest, and there is difficulty in breathing. Additionally, a variety of voices, sounds, and vibrations are sometimes reported as nonsensical language, buzzing, tingling, or even a kind of electrocution, along with floating or out-of-body sensations. Things get even creepier in cases when the presence takes form and starts to interact with the experiencer. An experience of SP is recounted by Ron in David Hufford's seminal 1982 book, The Terror That Comes in the Night. Ron describes an episode when he was living in a fraternity and had come home dead tired in the middle of the afternoon and decided to take a nap. He fell into a deep sleep lying on his back. A door slamming woke him up, but when he opened his eyes, no one was there. Ron could hear a stereo playing from a nearby room. But the next thing I knew, I realized I couldn't move. I was able to look around the room, and I started to feel chest pressure, and it increased. I just laid there,